Hi, everybody. My name is Catherine Graff, and I'm a master's student at Purdue University, where I'm working under Dr. Sean Castile. Today, I'm going to share with you some of my research over the effects of soybean release year and intensive management on seed fill. So, recent research has shown that current varieties are active later in the growing stages compared to older cultivars. This is evident in leaf retention, nutrient accumulation, and nutrient remobilization. When looking at this graph of phosphorus uptake and remobilization, the green and olive colored lines represent leaves and stems or stover depending on the growth stage, and the orange line represents the pods and seeds on a soybean plant. We want to pay particular attention to this orange line. So looking at this graph of the 1960s, you can see that the pods and seeds start to plateau off with their phosphorus accumulation rate starting at R6, and it ends up with about 82% of the total phosphorus out of the entire plant. However, when looking at current varieties, you can see that at R6, it continues to linearly increase the phosphorus accumulation in the pods and seeds, which is different compared to the older varieties. Biomass accumulation mirrors nutrient accumulation. So my specific study is looking at the biomass during this critical period between R4 and R8 to see what exactly is happening later in the growing season and to see how that translates into seed fill and then as well as yield. So my objective for the study is to quantify the changes of both the seed fill duration as well as the rate over the past 50 years of variety release and with fertility and foliar protection treatments. I hypothesize that the results will show that the seed fill duration will lengthen and the seed fill rate will increase over the 50 years of variety release, as well as with an increased number of agronomic inputs such as enhanced fertility and foliar protection. So this research was conducted in Lafayette, Indiana over the 2016 growing season. There we had two different trials. The first trial was looking specifically at varieties in maturity group 2, and the second trial was looking at maturity group 3 varieties. However, today I'm just going to be presenting on the maturity group 2 data. It was set up in a split plot design where the whole plot was the fertility and foliar management and the subplot was the variety. Prior to planting, we soil tested the soil and then we also hand spread the dry fertilizer. Plots were 6 rows wide with 38 centimeter row spacing and they were 10 meters long. Out of that 10 meters, we had biomass harvest for the first 3 to 5 meters, and then we harvested the following 5 to 7 meters with the plot combine. So the fertility and foliar treatments, like I said, were the whole plot factor. We set this up to target a 1.5-time crop removal rate of P2O5 in soybeans. We also set it up in a stepwise fashion where we could see if the addition of sulfur had any benefits when it was added into this fertility package. So I'd also like to note here that our untreated check had no additional fertility applied to it, but all of the soil test levels were well above the critical level, so having low nutrient values in the soil was not a problem. This was to see if we could enhance the fertility. So the MAP, or monoammonium phosphate, was targeted for the 1.5-time crop removal rate of P2O5, so that's where we got the 89.7 kilograms per hectare. The next step up was with the sulfur addition. There we used the MES-10 product, which is a microessentials, which just has that extra boost of sulfur, where we got 22.4 kilograms per hectare. Equal to that is the TSP-AMS application. It's a combination of triple superphosphate as well as ammonium sulfate, so we could get both the P2O5 as well as the sulfur in there. The next component to this treatment is the foliar application at R4. We applied Praxor at 0.29 liters per hectare and Warrior 2 an insecticide at 0.19 liters per hectare. We did that to both an untreated fertility plot as well as a plot that had the enhanced fertility. We chose the TSP-AMS treatment, which again had both the P2O5 application as well as the sulfur component. So I had 6 varieties in the maturity group 2 study. We targeted 3 different eras of release: the 1970s, which the Beeson and Wells variety fell into, the 1990s, which the Private 210 and the Conrad varieties fell into, and then current varieties, or the 2010 era, which the AG2933 and the P28T33R fell into. The data that we collected off of this was through reproductive growth staging. Once the soybeans reached R1, we went out about once a week and collected their growth staging so we could track them. Biomass sampling, we took a half a meter sample of a row about every 7 to 10 days starting at R4 to R8. We chose three specific fertility and foliar management treatments to do this over. Since there were six total, the three we chose were the untreated check, the TSPAMS, and the TSPAMS plus the R4 foliar, so we could see that stepwise comparison. And then we also harvested the plots for grain yield. Going back to the biomass sampling, like I said, we harvested plants every 7 to 10 days, starting at R4, going to R8, where we had seven different timings. We targeted mainly the R4, R6, and R8 timings to have the most detail in the partitioning. We partitioned it down to the stems, the leaves, the pods, the seeds, and as well we collected the fallen leaves. However, in the intermediate samplings, we just collected dry weights on the stover, which was composed of the stems and leaves, the pods, and the seeds. And then we dried them all down and took dry weights of all those samples. Okay, moving into the results. I'm going to share with you what we found for the seed fill duration as well as the rate, and then wrap it up with the yield. So looking at the seed fill duration of the fertility and foliar management treatment, there were no differences across the seed fill. They all averaged to be about 41 days long from the R4 period to the R7 period. There were differences when we looked at the seed fill period across the variety. It trended that the current varieties stay in the seed fill period longer compared to the older varieties. Here we can see that the 1970s averaged across the two varieties came out to be about 37 days long. The two varieties averaged for the 1990s variety averaged to be about 40 days long, and then the current varieties averaged together was 44 days long. So again, the newer varieties tended to have a longer seed fill period. Moving into the rate, I'm going to explain the setup of this graph as it follows through with the following two graphs as well. So on the bottom, the x-axis, we have day zero, which is R4, moving along all the way to about day 40, depending on the air that the soybean was released at, is R8. And some of the current varieties go all the way up to 50 days after R4 is equivalent to R8. On the y-axis, we have the seed weight, which is grams per meter squared. And again, like I said, we only partitioned three out of the six fertility and foliar management treatments, and those are shown here. In blue, we have the untreated check. In green, we have the TSP-AMS plus R4 foliar application. And then in the red, we have just the enhanced fertility with the TSP and AMS treatment. So, okay, looking at the contents of this graph now, we can see this is from the Wells variety, which was released in the 1970s. We can see that the rate is pretty similar all the way across. It does separate out, but the untreated check is a little bit less linear and not as high compared to the enhanced fertility as well as the fertility plus foliar. But together they average to be about 11 grams of grain added per day over the meter squared. And then we can see that the TSP AMS, since it had the highest rate, ended with the maximum seed weight at about 400 grams per meter squared, while the untreated check, which had the lowest rate, came up to be about 330 grams per meter squared for the maximum weight. Fast forwarding 20 years to the 1990s when the Conrad variety was released. Here we see that about at day 15 they start to separate off, especially the enhanced fertility and the foliar protection treatment. And I'd like to remind you that day zero is R4, and R4 is when we sprayed the fungicide and insecticide. So about 15 days after that, we can see the separation of the application into a higher rate with the green line compared to a little less of the rate for the untreated check and just the enhanced fertility. And this plays all the way out through to the total maximum weights, where we can see that the TSP AMS R4 foliar protection treatment ended up to be topping out at 550 grams per meter squared. Just the enhanced fertility was at 500 grams per meter squared, and the untreated check was at 450 grams per meter squared for the maximum seed weight. Fast forward again another 20 years to where we are now using current varieties. The AG2933 number is representing those. Here we can see that the linear growth rate is pretty much all the same. It's all 20 grams per meter squared per day being added. But it separates out at the end, where we can see with the TSPAMS R4 foliar protection treatment maxes out at about 630, while again the untreated check comes in at the bottom at about 600 grams per meter squared. This is due to the fact that the enhanced fertility as well as the foliar, so the green line, reaches that maximum rate later in the growing season, so it has more days to boost up to it and has less days to decrease. Therefore, we have a higher total maximum weight. Okay, now looking at the yield. When you first look at this graph, it looks like they're all about the same across the fertility and foliar management treatments. I would also like to mention about the yield that we took the yield over, again, about 5 to 7 meters of the plot length, while the seed fill curves were based on just a half meter section at the different growth stages when we harvested them. So now back to this. When we look at overall, they're all about the same, but when we look at the specific three treatments that we partitioned apart, we can see that the trends in the overall yield follow the seed fill rate trends. The untreated check, as well as the enhanced fertility and the TSPAMS treatment, are about the same at 4,500 kilograms per hectare, while the TSPAMS treatment, plus the foliar side of it, is higher compared to those two, ending up to be about 5,000 kilograms per hectare. And then looking at yield over the varieties, higher yields were found with the more current varieties. In the 1970 era varieties, they averaged to be about 4,000 grams or kilograms per hectare, excuse me. The 1990s averaged to be about 4,200 kilograms per hectare, and the current varieties averaged to be about 55 kilograms per hectare. So again, the yields increased as varieties were more recently introduced. Okay. So, in conclusion, the duration was not influenced by fertility or foliar management. However, it was influenced by the varieties. Current varieties have longer seed fill periods. For the seed fill rate, maximum seed weight was found with the current varieties as well as with the fertility and foliar inputs. The seed fill rates is similar to the maximum seed weight, where variety release increases the rate, as well as with the fertility and foliar management inputs increase the rate. And then yield was increased by release year. It was also numerically increased with fertility and foliar protection. So I would recommend that fertility and foliar protection applications are not necessarily needed unless soil test levels are below the critical level or the insect and disease pressure reach threshold. Future work, this was repeated in 2017, and then just looking to see if the same trends were found, and then we can go on from there. I'd like to give a big thank you to Dr. Sean Castile for allowing me to do this project, as well as with the SWIC crew. Without our group of undergraduates and visiting scholars, all this partitioning and grinding of the work would not get accomplished. And a big thank you to Indiana Soybean Alliance for the funding. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Got time for a question?
Yes.
So you said that current varieties have longer seed fill durations than ones that were released a while ago.
Yep.
What impact does that have potentially on late season stresses?
On late season stresses? I guess so. It would be the question was, how do current varieties, since they have a longer seed fill period, how does that influence the late season stresses? So I would say that the late season stresses would have obviously a bigger impact on the current varieties, because that's when like more of the remobilization of the nutrients is taking place. There would be a greater impact on it. Therefore, it could inhibit the yield a little bit more. But that's why we also targeted our fungicide and insecticide application to be later, just to protect that. Yeah, in the back.
So I didn't see the beginning of your talk. Did you mention about the maturity of those varieties? Because one of the things that's happened in the Midwest is when I was there working with Wells and Beeson, we were working with very few Group 3s, mostly Group 4s, Group 5s. Now there's been a shift into earlierness, earliness in the varieties. So can that earliness lead to some of the differences in varieties that you've seen? seed?
Okay. So the question was, how does maturity group influence the what we found today? Okay, like I said in the beginning, we had two different studies. The first study was looking at specifically at maturity group 2 varieties, while the second study was looking at maturity group 3 varieties. However, these were two separate studies. We weren't going to necessarily compare them apart, but I agree. I find that the current varieties, they're classified as a maturity group 2, but they do take longer compared to the older varieties. But I think that's why the duration is extended, and that's why we potentially have greater yield with the newer varieties.
All right, thanks, Steve.